Good morning and welcome to the Sunday Morning Public Affairs Show. My name is Riggs from Riggs and Alley on 103.7 KISS FM. We're also on 105.7 FM The Fan and 99.1 The Mix here in Milwaukee. COVID-19, coronavirus. That's what we're discussing this morning. If you haven't heard about it, you haven't turned on your TV, you haven't logged onto your social media, or even walked out down the street, notice that things are closed as of late. Yes, it's taking over our lives. So we decided to go straight to the source, to Andrea Palm, who is the secretary designee at the Wisconsin Department of Health Services. You are the one that's standing next to Tony Evers on TV when the announcements are being made on television. You're the face of the Department of Health. Thank you for coming on the show this morning. We appreciate you.
Thanks so much for having me, Riggs.
Now, what we wanted to do is kind of get people, let's start off with the basics, the hygiene stuff. It's nice to repeat it again. What we can do to prevent us from getting coronavirus, prevent from spreading coronavirus. Talk to me like I just woke up yesterday and have no idea what's going on.
So I do think, to your point, Riggs, one of the best tools that we have, because we don't have a vaccine and we don't have medical treatments, are those hygiene practices. So it sounds simple, but washing your hands with soap and water and getting through those two verses of happy birthday or whatever your favorite song to drop into that are really important things to do to help protect yourself and prevent the spread of COVID-19. It is a respiratory illness, and so it is transmitted through our coughs and our sneezes, and so coughing into your elbow instead of into your hand is another really important way to prevent the spread, because you use your hands to touch other things, and so you could leave virus on surfaces that other people touch. And so washing your hands, doing that coughing and sneezing hygiene in a really good way are some of the most critical and basic important things we can do to stop the spread of this disease.
Now, a lot of us we're into Clorox wipes, we're wiping down common surfaces. Where does it get above the point of you're probably being overly? Can you be too cautious with wiping down surfaces and sanitizing constantly?
I think because we're all susceptible to infection, because we don't have any immunity against this, doorknobs and countertops and commonly touched surfaces are things that are important to continue to keep wiped down, right? Obviously, folks are staying safer at home, which means they aren't in contact with things outside of their home that may have the virus, but, right, you're going to want, as soon as you return home from those weekly errands that you're running, to wash your hands, and to, if you set your grocery bag down on the countertop, wipe that countertop down. Be really conscious of the ways and the places that you're touching, and just make sure to keep those surfaces clean as you move through your day and through your essential business.
I like to think about when I'm touching something, how many other people have touched this, and then probably wipe it down if I need to.
Yeah, your remote, right? We're spending a bunch of time on Netflix, right? So that remote is an important thing to keep wiped down.
My car door handle.
Right.
Now, we hear a lot about the deaths in Wisconsin. A lot of them appear to be older, and the older population seems to be more susceptible to this disease. Mm-hmm. But are younger kids or babies, pregnant women, do those types of people, are they more susceptible to COVID-19 as well?
Yeah, so we are not seeing, either here in the United States or globally, a major impact on kids and babies. Everybody can be infected, and obviously we want everybody to stay safe and healthy. And so while you're correct, Riggs, the disproportionate impact of hospitalizations and deaths are in the older age groups, anybody can be infected and therefore spread it to other people. So we want everybody to be conscious of their hygiene and the surfaces that they're touching, as we just discussed, and to do everything they can to remain safer at home so they're not spreading it to other people.
What's the hardest thing to control about the public perception of COVID-19? Because a lot of people weren't taking it seriously and very laid back and relaxed and kind of poo-pooing it. What's the hardest thing to control about the public perception of this pandemic?
Yeah, I think it is. At first, we were hearing a lot of comparisons to H1N1, right, which was the last pandemic we saw around the globe.
Swine flu.
And I think it's really important for folks to know that COVID-19 is a lot more infectious and is more deadly than the flu. And so because we don't have a vaccine, because we don't have treatment, we are all more susceptible to the disease. And so our response to seasonal flu or H1N1, because of those factors, is different. And so we want folks to understand that it is different, and that while most people have mild symptoms and fully recover without hospitalization, because none of us have immunity and there isn't treatment or a vaccine, we risk people who are more vulnerable if we don't take it seriously ourselves. And so that's the kind of stuff we are working to push against as we're trying to have a community-wide effort to respond to this outbreak.
We're talking with Andrea Palm, who's the Secretary-Designate for the Department of Health Services. So are there any misconceptions or myths out there? We get a lot of information overload from so many media sources, Facebook, Twitter. Are there any myths or misconceptions that are out there right now that you want to squash right now that you're hearing that are just driving you up the wall that maybe people are buying into?
Yeah. So I would put those in two buckets. One are the things that always happen in situations like this, which are the scams and the frauds that are trying to rip people off. So nobody is going to come to your home to test you for COVID-19. Don't let somebody in your home if they're knocking on your door or they call you and say they want to come to your house to give you a test. That does not exist. And people are also trying to rip off folks from some of these stimulus payments that are coming from the federal government. Don't give people your personal information in order to receive a stimulus payment or because they say they're going to deposit it in your bank account. That kind of stuff is not happening either. I think the other fraud that we're seeing that is particularly worrisome to me is claims that there are treatments or cures or things you can take to prevent COVID-19. Those things don't exist, and you should not spend your money on them, and you should not believe. It will give you absolute false hope that you are protected from this disease. Those are products by people who are trying to rip you off. And so I want people to be really careful about those kinds of schemes. But then the other thing for me is some of what we've already talked about, which is because the disease impacts older people and people with underlying health conditions in a more severe way, there is this false sense of security among younger, healthier people that they don't have to worry about it. And so they don't need to be as careful about social distancing. They don't need to be as careful about safer at home, when what we know is they can easily be infected, have no or mild symptoms, and spread it to other people, which again is a risk for our community more broadly and a risk for those who are more vulnerable to severe disease. And so we do really want to make sure that people understand that anybody can be infected and that what you do when you are infected by not staying safer at home is potentially infecting other people, and that could be dangerous for them.
Now, we've been safer at home for a couple weeks now since Governor Tony Evers issued the Safer at Home Act. Now, is it doing anything to help flatten the curve at all? We talk a lot about flattening the curve so we're not putting a strain on the health system. I read a tweet from you guys that it was helping with the seasonal flu, which was interesting. There was a drop in the seasonal flu rates. Is this helping right now with the flattening the curve? Because a lot of people we're just wondering, we're staying at home. Is it working? Are you seeing this from your level?
Yeah, I think we do feel optimistic and hopeful about what our data is showing us, that we are, in fact, not seeing an escalation in the number of cases as was projected would happen without Safer at Home versus the way it's escalating with Safer at Home. Obviously, we're seeing 100-plus new cases every day, so it's still growing, but it is not exponentially escalating in a way that we would fear overwhelming our healthcare system. So we do think that the actions people are taking are helping us to flatten the curve. And now what we're trying to figure out and understand from our data and from the projections that we're making and that other models around the country are making is what kind of decrease is enough? When it's how flat does it have to be for how long? And those are the things we are working right now to understand in the data, to think through and to figure out, because obviously we all want to get back to a place where we're living a little bit more normal lives, recognizing that without a vaccine and treatment, we're going to have to actively manage this disease for the foreseeable future.
It was about a week ago when the Centers for Disease Control started recommending that when we go out to maybe making our essential runs, that we wear masks to cover ourselves and to protect other people as well. Just in case we may be sick, like you said earlier, you could be infected with COVID-19, not know it, be asymptomatic, and pass that on. In regards to wearing masks, are the ones that people make at home helpful? Are there certain materials that are better to use or not use? Should we? I know, obviously, we don't want to use the N95 masks, which people talk about or should be reserved for healthcare workers that are in direct contact with patients. What kind of suggestions and tips can you give to people on the mask front?
Yeah, it's a great question, and you're so right that we don't want to divert from our frontline healthcare workers those medical grade masks that they use, and I think that's why CDC made some recommendations about cloth masks, which we have echoed here at the Department of Health Services. And you're exactly right, Riggs. What we know about masks is that it's more protective. Of other people, not of yourself, and particularly cloth. There isn't science that tells us that a cloth mask prevents somebody else's respiratory droplets from getting into your system, but what it does do a decent job of is if you're asymptomatic or you only have mild symptoms, it will protect potentially other people from being in contact with your respiratory droplets. And so if people are going out to do their essential errands and they put a cloth mask on, they may be helping protect other people. And right, that's a good thing. That's anything we can do to reduce the spread is a good thing for us to be doing. And there really isn't science about what kind of cloth or what kind of materials are better or worse. I think what we know is if they get damp, they are less helpful, and that we want to be really cautious not to get a false sense of security about that mask protecting us. And so we still need to be very conscious about not touching our eyes and our nose and our mouth with our hands, particularly if we're out doing things where we're touching other surfaces. So I think people need to just really keep in mind who the mask is protecting and that we need to continue those really good hygiene practices while we're using a cloth mask.
Is it still advisable? Do we need to wear a mask if we're just going out for a walk around the block or maybe out to just around the neighborhood? Or is it more important for those closed spaces like going to a pharmacy, going to a grocery store, going to the hardware store?
Yeah, I think the latter, Riggs. I mean, if people are having mild symptoms but right they need to walk the dog, then wearing a cloth mask is right the most conscientious thing you can do. But I think right if you're less likely to come 6 feet from somebody, you can be very conscious about that physical distancing. Folks should use the option to protect other people when they feel like they might come into contact with folks, like you suggested, in grocery stores or in closed spaces when they're doing their essential errands.
There's a lot of controversy I've seen about gloves, people using them, people misusing gloves. Are gloves a necessary precaution? If so, when? What kind of tips can you give to people that want to use gloves? Or
And I think right, the same applies as it does with masks. Well, the thing we are most concerned about is people having a false sense of security about it protecting them. Right? If you wear gloves to a grocery store, you touch surfaces, and then you rub across your face, the germs that you touched those gloves to on that surface are now on your face. And so the good hygiene practices, the very conscientiously not touching your eyes, your nose, and your mouth are the best ways to prevent the spread. And again, we don't want to be diverting medical grade gloves from the healthcare system and their use in situations where you really are in contact with patients whose germs you don't want to be taking to other parts of the hospital, right? What you do with gloves is they're single use. you wear them into a setting with a patient where you don't want to be spreading germs, and you throw them out when you leave that patient room. And so when people just put on a pair of gloves and wear them all day long, it's not right. It's not that same methodology. It's not that same germ prevention, and it does give a false sense of security about what you're protecting yourself from.
We're talking with Andrea Palm, the secretary designee with the Wisconsin Department of Health. When we do go out for grocery shopping, I've heard a lot of people saying to be wiping down things that we bring back from the grocery, things that we bring in from the outside into our home. Maybe we go to the hardware store and pick something up and bring it home. How vigilant should we be when bringing things in to our home, be them groceries or other essential items? What mm-hmm. should we be doing precaution-wise?
Yeah, I mean, I think, again, commonly touched items, the virus can live on them depending on the type of, paper versus cardboard versus metal versus, plastic. And there are some studies about how long the virus can live on different kinds of surfaces. But obviously, right, the safest thing to do, and right, we do it normally with our groceries. We wash our produce, the apples before we put them in the bowl on the counter. You wipe down the milk carton before you slide it into the fridge. Those kinds of things that we do normally are certainly things we should continue to be doing. And up in our game in that space is certainly erring on the side of caution, which is not a bad thing to be doing right now as we're all trying to stay healthy and safe. But again, right, remember if you set the groceries on the counter, you're going to want to wipe that counter down too. And so being conscientious about all those commonly touched surfaces is the best thing we can be doing right now to reduce the spread.
One question that I had from somebody else that had submitted it, from pet owners. There was something in the news recently of a cat contracting coronavirus.
Yeah.
And that's a difference. From what I understand, it's a different strain that the animal has. But is there anything we need to know about our pets, our cats, or our animals at all with COVID-19?
Yeah. So there have been a very small handful of known infections in pets. We are not seeing transmission from our pets to humans, and we haven't really seen that when a pet, this most recent one was a tiger, right?
Yeah.
These animals aren't really getting sick, and so folks need to be conscious of spreading disease, but we're not seeing it spread from pets to their owners, or that if pets get it, they're becoming very ill from it. So obviously, we want to reduce transmission as much as possible, but we're not seeing evidence that pets are carriers or are transmitting it, or that they're getting very sick.
Good to know. And is there anything else that you want people to know as the secretary designee for the Department of Health? Maybe you want people to take more seriously, something you want to reiterate from our conversation, something you want people to do more, or maybe something you want people to do less of? Anything that's kind of like parting words?
Yeah, I appreciate that. I do think we do need to be very conscious of the fact that we're all in this together, and because this disease is as infectious as it is, that even if we're having mild symptoms or no symptoms, that we could impact our community, our neighbors, other people in the state of Wisconsin in a pretty negative way if they themselves are more susceptible to severe disease and even death. And so Safer at Home is designed to break the chain of transmission, and as we've talked about, we're starting to see evidence in our data that we're doing a pretty good job of that. But now is the time to double down, to not lose patience, and to really help us break the chain of transmission and prevent the spread further, so we can protect our frontline healthcare workers and our healthcare system from being overwhelmed. And we at the state, on behalf of the governor, we are so grateful for the work that everybody is doing. We really understand that this is hugely stressful and that it's economically unhelpful to be living in a world where we are safer at home, but But without medical intervention, without a vaccine, without viable treatments, these are the tools that we have to fight this fight, and we're just really grateful for everybody's pulling together and working with us to defeat COVID-19.
Well, we're grateful for the work that you guys do with the Department of Health to keep us all safe. I hope everybody continues to do their part, and this is not going to last forever. There's light at the end of the tunnel. We just don't know how long the tunnel is. I keep saying that.
Yep.
Well, thank you so much for coming on this morning. I appreciate it. Secretary-designee Andrea Palm from the Department of Health in Wisconsin, we appreciate all the work you're doing, and thank you for your time this morning on Sunday morning. My name is Riggs from 103.7 KISS FM, and we're also on 105.7 FM The Fan and 99.1 The Mix. Have a great weekend.